like every Armenian that lived in the diaspora, we all have this beautiful picture of Armenia in our heads. And until I got to visit here, that picture met the reality. And I really wanted to start a business. A lot of people said, don't do it. You're crazy. And when people put those objections in front of me, that just makes me more determined.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the VNDisrupt podcast. Our guest today was Vahe Nikolosyan, the founder and CEO of EngineerX, a mechanical engineering design service company in Armenia. We spoke about the founding of the company, doing business in Armenia, and building an engineering ecosystem in the country. Thank you for listening. Vahe, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about your background. How'd you get started in the world of engineering?
So that's a great question. I am not an engineer. I'll be right up front with you. But I am an entrepreneur. Like every Armenian that lived in the diaspora, we all have this beautiful picture of Armenia in our heads. Mm-hmm. And until I got to visit here, that picture met the reality. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to start a business. So my great friend, Andre Kuyumjan, who is a Dassault Systems SolidWorks global executive, he is actually the one that came up with the idea for me to start an engineering design services firm in Armenia. And eventually, if that was successful, we could become a reseller of SolidWorks mm-hmm. in Armenia. And that's how the whole business got started. We hired our director, was our first hire, David, who's connected with the Polytechnical University. He's very well known, Yurmuzyan, very well known within the Armenian engineering community. He's got great experience in automotive and aerospace. So it gives us a really good berth of potential clients.
Mm-hmm. Let's just take a step back for a minute. You said during your first visit to Armenia, you sort of got the itch and knew that you wanted to start a business that would be impactful in Armenia as well. When was that first trip?
2018.
Yep. Okay. So not too long ago.
It wasn't too long ago. Yeah.
And were you thinking, what's your past entrepreneurial history?
Yeah. School background is in accounting and finance.
Okay.
That's what it is. I've continued my family's logistical business. And I've also bought and sold other types of businesses throughout the years. So I currently have the logistics business and I have one of the top three franchises in the United States. And this is my third company that I'm running right now, but my most passionate.
Mm-hmm. Is the passion part connected to Armenia?
100%. Yeah. There's no question.
Yeah.
There's no question. I mean, I've traveled not all the way around the world, but I've traveled a lot of places. I can't wait to get home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time I leave here, I'm pretty sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find yourself coming a lot more often now?
Oh, definitely. And for longer periods of time.
Yeah. That's great.
So like right now I'm here for 5 weeks.
What's something you wish you knew that would be helpful to other American or just diaspora Armenians before they jump into the world of starting a business in Armenia?
That's a great question. To be honest with you, I think a lot of people said, don't do it, right? You're crazy. And when people put those objections in front of me, that just makes me more determined. The things I've learned, the rules here are very complicated, mm-hmm. especially not forming the business. That was pretty easy. The accounting part, we're used to very different employee rules, accounting rules, inventory rules that I'm just not used to. And my accounting team had to convince me that, Vahe, this is the right way that we need to figure that stuff out. My advice to anyone that really wants to start a business in Armenia is to one, do it, right? And B, find the right, there's lots of people that you can go to. Find people like myself. I am open to helping anyone that wants to ask me, what did you do? How did you do it? It took me over a year, and we started during COVID, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't even able to travel here until December of 2020, which was very difficult because we had COVID just after the war. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? We started our business July of 2020, right? I hired my first people in August and September, and then boom, the war hits, yeah. right? I can't do anything. I'm 5,000 miles away. We don't know what's going on over here. and we're starting a new business,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All these challenges in front of us, but now look where we are.
Yeah. It's another thing I'll add is working with people here who already have that experience. Oftentimes you'll see diasporans who want to come, but they don't necessarily have a connection on the ground that can guide them in those early days. But from my experience, it's been the community, both the business and tech community in Armenia, are extremely open in terms of like just a simple meeting or exchanging a few emails to give advice. So anyone who's thinking of that, I always suggest like just send a cold email. You'll almost definitely get a response.
So you're 100% correct. Honestly, I had zero. My friend Nigolas helped me in the beginning. He has done a lot of work over here. But besides him, I had no contacts.
Yeah.
Like I said, in 2018 was the first time I came here,
yeah.
and I fell in love.
Yeah.
Right. And my entrepreneurial spirit kicked in immediately. And see, my perception of Hayastan is the wild, wild west mm-hmm. of America back in 1900. Right. I know a lot of people I talk to here, they don't see it. They don't see the forest through the trees. There is so many opportunities for growth, for expansion, for new businesses, for new technologies. Everything is in front of us. But when you're in the middle of everything, you don't see it. I have a different perspective. I have 20 years of work experience back at home, coming from a slightly different background, and then you put me in a situation where it's a wide open canvas basically, and I can envision the fruits of that labor very easily. So if you're a diasporan and you want to come, send me an email. Volo, the Aram and Aram from Volo, they were fantastic. They met with us for a couple of hours in their they didn't know us. They had no idea. They knew I was a guy from Boston mm-hmm. that came to Hayastan and opened up a business. They said, come on over. They gave us a lot of great tips.
Yeah.
I met with several companies, not even within our sphere, like you said, in the tech industry and in other industries, just to understand the sense of the business mm-hmm. landscape. And they were fantastic.
Why do you say you see so much opportunity? Or is it just because there's so little established that oftentimes you're a first mover by default?
100%. Labor, the eagerness to learn. You know, we're much more older, saturated market in the United States, right?
Yeah.
So to come up with new technologies for new things, our costs, you know, let's be honest here. Our costs in the United States are 10x what they are over here in Hayastan. Mm-hmm. They really are. They're 10x. Yes, things are getting more expensive here. The dirham has appreciated 20-25% against the dollar. So my costs have gone up. My rent has gone up. Everything has gone up. But even take that into consideration, my expenses are a lot less. So it gives me the opportunity to make the investments where I would need millions of dollars to make the same investments in the United States.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it here. But the satisfaction is 1,000 times more.
Yeah. So let's get into EngineerX. Mm-hmm. Tell us what your company is and what it does.
So EngineerX is a engineering design services company, and now we are the first reseller of SolidWorks in Hayastan. That designation is extremely important for a lot of reasons, if you allow me to dive into that part.
For sure, but first tell us, when you say engineering design, a lot of people's minds, I think, might go to like software and things of that nature. But tell us exactly what
it is. No, not software. So it's mechanical engineering. Let me be very specific. Yeah. So mechanical engineering. Anything that you buy in a store is designed by an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is either taken to manufacturing or CNC machines or whatever, and then it's built. Every part in your car is designed by a mechanical engineer. Any part in an airplane is designed by a mechanical engineer. There's different professions within it. Specifically, they could be masters in plastic, in metal, but it's all designed by mechanical engineers. Mm-hmm. So I have a team of engineers in Hayastan that are mechanical engineers, and our clients are around the world, from Australia to Europe to the United States. They send us projects, 2D drawings that they've designed, and we make the 3D mechanical engineering drawing ready for production.
Right. So taking like just a raw idea into something that is ready to be sent to a plant to be manufactured.
So we can do that also. That's ideation. We can do that. That's much more challenging going from zero. But right now our clients already have their plans and we make that to reality to get into production. Like yes.
You take it production ready.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, correct. Yeah. Correct.
Tell us why the SolidWorks distinction is important.
The SolidWorks distinction is extremely important.
What is SolidWorks?
Okay, SolidWorks, let me explain. There's many different types of mechanical engineering software. SolidWorks is the world's leading software system for mechanical engineers. Okay. 75% of engineers around the world use SolidWorks.
Okay.
Every Fortune 500 company uses some version of SolidWorks, from Tesla to Amazon to 3M to General Motors, every car manufacturer, Boeing, Airbus, they all use some former version of SolidWorks.
Okay.
So us being the first Armenian reseller in Hayastan gives us the opportunity, one, to provide the software to the local businesses at the manufacturer cost without any inflated pricing, which was happening, by the way, before. And we experienced that personally, trying to buy licenses.
In Armenia?
In Armenia. Yeah, they were charging 100% more than what the SOS Systems was
priced on.
Exactly. Second, it allows the engineers training. We can provide training. We can provide certifications. We can provide programs for the universities, the special educational programs, where, for instance, a mechanical engineering professor has a teacher's app within SolidWorks. They get their itinerary or their curriculum for the entire year. They plug in their students, and they can see their designs within that software platform. They can correct them. They can send it right back. And then next semester students, they can, the curriculum stays, and the new students, they get plugged in. So the curriculum, along with SolidWorks, is constant, right? He's not reinventing the curriculum every time. There could be changes, of course. And that allows the teacher continuity, ease of grading.
Yeah.
He can see the designs right away. The collaboration is phenomenal. They didn't have this before. They didn't have the ability to purchase this before.
Right.
It also gives me the ability to go into elementary schools, middle schools. We've already done that. My engineering team has gone into the Mkhitarsi. Yes, and we've started a SolidWorks for Kids program.
Mm-hmm.
They're very energetic. It's free.
Yeah.
The kids really embrace it because it's fun. It's interactive.
Can you give an idea of someone who's never seen it? What someone would do in the program, especially for kids, for example.
Yeah. It's basically a 3D drawing animation program where they have an idea and it basically puts blocks together and builds the beginning stages of designing. And they have to drag and click. They can expand. They can save it. They can come back. It's very basic, but it teaches them and it actually has the exact same tools as in SolidWorks, but in a very minimal level.
Kid-friendly level.
If the student is interested in mechanical engineering, they actually, believe it or not, have the basic building blocks of SolidWorks.
Yeah. And it sets them down a path of pursuing something like mechanical engineering.
Correct. And that's another goal of mine. The larger goal of mine, to be honest, is to create an engineering ecosystem in Hayastan where we can go out and be known for one of the engineering hubs of the world, to be honest with you. When companies like Boston Scientific, large companies, they are outsourcing their talent everywhere. Wherever they are, they'll have offices, whatever. But they'll open up engineering offices in Taiwan, in India, huge competitor. Before it was Ukraine, they've moved out, obviously, for reasons. I want Hayastan to be known for their engineering ecosystem. And how is a large Fortune 500 company going to open up an office in Hayastan if we don't have the engineers?
Yeah.
And if we don't have the jobs for people to think about becoming engineers, they need to make a living, right? They need to support their families. So they need jobs at the end of the day. It's the chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
No company is going to come without the employees, right? Or in the talent. And how can you grow the talent without a job?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like I'm in the middle, right?
So in a way, a lot of the work you're doing is not just building the business to sell your services to companies that need it, but you're also investing a lot within the ecosystem itself to build it up.
Correct.
Does that, like, typically that kind of work would be done by some sort of larger body that doesn't necessarily need to see a profit or a return right away. How do you see it from your end? Like, is it a strain on the business? Is it tough for you to do? Or is it just a constant pipeline for you into your own business?
So that's a great question. It's both, okay? Because as my business grows, I also need the talent.
Right.
And the best way for me to grow the talent is what I just described. Growing the engineers, starting.
Yeah.
You need a successful business has to hit their milestones. You have to have goals. We actually have hit all our goals. I am very fortunate where I can't say that. Profit is, you always need profit. I am very profit driven because everybody wins. This is not a nonprofit organization, but you also need to make investments in the certain areas to see that profit grow on the back end. Correct?
Yeah.
So financially, we have customers around the world, like I said. I have 7 engineers now that work for me. We've gone from 1 to 7 in 3 years. I suspect within the next 3 years, our graph will look like a hockey stick, and we'll be at 2021. Where am I going to get 21 engineers?
Yeah.
Right?
You got to build them.
I got to build them. I need to make that investment right now. So yes, I'm not looking for my dollar today. To me, that's irrelevant. What I want is the million.
It'll come down.
That's going to come down the road.
Yeah.
Because that's the prize. And if I can achieve that, that means there's going to be 50 other people that are working over here that are achieving that success with me. And that, to me, that is the basically our prize in the sky.
So there's a lot of talk of this. You're probably the first person on the podcast, one of the very few that is not software engineering focused. Some have been hardware focused, but far, far fewer than the latter. We don't often hear about the actual, like, hard engineering, capacity within Armenia. We hear a lot about, like, the capacity within tech. We have, like, a strong base of, software engineers and tech talent. We don't really hear much. Electrical engineering, maybe you'll hear about occasionally. Mechanical engineering, I probably never have heard of. So what's the, how do you see the potential? Is it actually there, or is there a ton of work to do for it to catch up to where tech is?
So let me ask you a question. Why is you've done all these podcasts. Why is tech where it is today? Because they had the jobs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And there was also a basis of it leading back to the Soviet Union.
Correct.
Yeah.
But we also had a lot of mechanical engineering basis back during the Soviet Union. But what happened? They didn't have the job, right? So you're a parent, you have a child, it's normal. You're advising them to get into a career. You're gonna make X amount of money as a software engineer, and you're gonna make this little money as a mechanical engineer. Where are you gonna go?
Software.
100%. I would do the same thing if I were in their shoes.
Pragmatic.
Exactly. It's my job to change the landscape. Mm-hmm. Because there is. I've talked to so many people that have actual degrees in mechanical engineering.
Working as software engineers.
And they're doing something else. Not even software engineers.
Yeah.
Right? It kills me when I hear that. And I'm not even an engineer. But as a country, we need the engineers. How are we going to build things? Yeah. How are we going to manufacture things without mechanical engineers? Yeah. Software, yes, it's great. I'm all for it. I love software. You know how many friends of mine here in this country are software engineers? They're doing fantastic. But for us to build anything in this country, we need engineers. And do I want to outsource that outside of this country? Absolutely not.
Yeah. This isn't an exact number, but like I think if you take a look at all the physics grads in Armenia, some significant portion of them end up, after getting a physics degree, going to some like coding boot camp and getting a software job. So it's definitely, it's a shame that all this incredible like STEM talent is all being funneled just towards tech and more specifically just like software engineering jobs, whereas there can be a blossoming ecosystem of with components that all complement one another, right? Like I have no doubt that if the work that you guys do and the success that you have down the road will be complementary to the greater tech ecosystem and the greater like STEM ecosystem overall. So it's a shame to have a very like, how would you put it? Like a very concentrated funnel on this one thing. We really need to diversify it.
There's no question. I agree with you 10,000%. And that's where my advice to my diasporan brothers and sisters are, if you have an expertise in these other STEM fields and you have the motivation to come over here and start a business, that is what we need.
Yeah.
We need your expertise to come here and establish what we've established times 10X.
Yeah.
To grow that STEM culture for physics, for whatever you wanna call. So these young kids that are graduating and looking for jobs, they'll find a decent, doesn't have to be the best, doesn't have to pay like software engineers, but they need to make a living. They need to be able to pay rent. Rents are absorbent within Yerevan right now. Gasoline, very expensive. They have to get around. Cost of living has definitely gone up. I've seen it with my own eyes in the last 3 years. That's my advice.
Yeah. Like with anything, like with a lot of things, it starts with money and people. So it's nice to see that some of that is starting now.
Thank you.
Have you seen any federal support, any government support for improving, like just even the talent pipeline or things like that?
No, yeah. I mean, we've worked with Engineering City on I know the government has supported them with their venture out in Jervish, mm-hmm. in that area. We've done some work with them. Honestly, I haven't, and I haven't even tried, to be honest with you. My goal, government-wise, I would like to get their help down the road, maybe with the schools, mm-hmm. right? To get their participation. I really want my focus now that I've established, I have a base level of the company, right? My personal focus now is for growing the ecosystem. I've challenged my team, for instance, to now that I am a reseller, I have these abilities to do certain things. One is we've contacted the Polytechnical University, and we're going to have a engineering challenge contest with them. We started, my director, because it's got to be by a person, started the first SolidWorks user group in Hayastan. There wasn't a user group before. David has actually been awarded many awards by SolidWorks for the work that he's done within this user group. I'll give you one example. We have SolidWorks champions. So that means they need to pass certain certifications and they become a SolidWorks champion. We have 7, I believe, working on our 8th one within Hayastan. That's 6.5% of the population is a SolidWorks champion. Right. And if you, within the engineering community, right. It's 1.5 times that in the rest of the world. So it's 3% in the rest of the world.
I see. Yeah.
So if you go
per capita,
we're talking about per capita, right? So if you go to United States, it's 3. The SolidWorks champions are 3%. Yeah. Go to Canada, it's 3%. Germany, it's 3%. Hayastan, it's 6.5%. We're one of the highest in the world that are SolidWorks champions. They invited David to their conference, their worldwide conference, which was just held in Dallas. I attended also, and a couple of my team members attended. And you should have seen him walking around in that with thousands of engineers from around the world being recognized as one of the user groups. It's these types of opportunities. So we can go to the Polytechnical University and say, we can provide you with these expertise. Let's come up with some type of challenge for your students or some type of event, mm-hmm. or whatever, to get them motivated, to get them interested, to also see like, wow, I can go to Dallas for a user group conference. I can work for Engineerix. Mm-hmm. I can build these things. We have customers, like I said, around the world in aerospace, in automotive, in recycling plants, in product development. It's pretty interesting, this kind of stuff that we do. So not only are you a mechanical engineer, the jobs that are coming in, they're really interesting jobs. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Let's speak a little bit about your collaboration with Okni, which is a local Armenian NGO that does prosthetics for wounded soldiers.
Correct.
Tell us what you guys have done with them.
Yeah, so they are fantastic. Haig at Okni has been a great partner with us from the beginning. We've collaborated with them. They do the engineering part. So they design, what they do is fantastic, by the way. We fully support them. So they design the prosthetic cover for the wounded soldiers. And then we assist them in some of the mechanical engineering developments for them to finish, go across the finish line. The work they do is fantastic. The team they have with Arevik and Haig and the rest of the team is great. To see the soldiers after you put on the, I can't call it a game changer, but it makes them look normal, right? When you put that prosthetic cover on their legs and then they're wearing their pants, or you can't even tell.
Right.
Yeah. We've done a couple of events with them. We've done a couple of challenges with them, with Okni and us and the Mesrobian Foundation of Engineering. And we will continue to collaborate with them. They're a great partner of ours.
Yeah. Are there other organizations within Armenia that you guys have worked with specifically on providing your services? Or is the market not really ready for something like what you guys are doing?
Like Okni, last 3 years, there might have been a couple of small projects, not really. Now that we've become a software reseller, we're slowly starting to, because now, if you want to go back, my intention was never to sell my services within the country. Mm-hmm. My intentions from day one was to sell my services outside of the country, bring that revenue here, and grow my staff here. I knew I can't be, I didn't want to be competitive within the local. If there were other engineering design services firms that were having, I didn't want to take their customers away. That's not my intention. To help companies like Okni all day long, we will help, not companies, excuse me, NGOs like that for the work that they do. You know, it's a great philanthropic mission. There's no question. But my goal now is a little bit different, because I am a software reseller. So I want the companies here to have the proper tools for them to service their clients and to grow their base. So I'll be candid with you. 90% of the people here that are using SolidWorks, they're using crack software. They're using unlicensed products.
Yeah.
And the reason I know this is because I know all the sales that are happening in Armenia.
Because you're the only official reseller.
Because now I'm the official reseller. So now I have different resources of
monitoring it.
And they know every time that somebody uses SolidWorks and they connect it to the internet, they could see that this is a unlicensed version of SolidWorks. I've already had reports. I've had a lot of talks with them. I'm not here to break anybody down. That's not my goal. My goal is to expand the ecosystem, right? I want them to have the proper tools. I'm not here to get rich off of them using SolidWorks. I want them to get rich using SolidWorks to sell their product outside of the country.
Globally, yeah.
Globally. There isn't a single Western country that is going to do business with a company that's using crack software. It's not going to happen. And if you're known for that, they're not going to do business with me.
It's a black mark that you can't get off, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, and that is one of my goals. I want to work with all of them. It's going to be a paradigm shift within their mentality to pay for this when they're not used to paying for something.
Yeah. I think that's like an inevitability that has happened in other sectors, and I'm sure the culture change will come there as well. As a provider of the software, would you guys be also be doing like helping them do implementations and things like that, or just providing the software?
No, 100%. Yeah. Yes, technical support, implementation support, first and second tier problems. If they can't log on, if they can't do this, they're going to call us. Before, they didn't have those resources. I don't blame them. I'm not blaming anybody. They didn't have the ability to buy yes, there was a Russian reseller here. It was one guy in an office charging 250% of what the MSRP was for the software.
Right.
And I know this for a fact because I tried to buy it myself.
Yeah.
These companies didn't have those resources. They have me and my team right now to help them. So if they have a non-cloud version of SolidWorks, actually scratch that. You have to get a cloud version of SolidWorks, which is great. You don't need your own servers.
Right.
Right?
You don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about it. Everything's housed in the cloud. You're designing something, you can give your client instant access to that around the world. They can sign off on your designs. The features and benefits of SolidWorks right now is 100 times more than what they're using on their desktop versions. Yes, you have to pay for it, but you have a lot of benefits if you know how to implement that to get your rate of return back on your investment. And it's my goal to teach them that, listen, let me help you go to the American market. Let me help you go to the European market. How many people have you talked to in this podcast have tried and they haven't had any success? Mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of businesses. They're like, Vahe, how can we access that market? Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you got to change your business practices.
Yeah. There's also, you know, like within tech as well, if you scroll back like 10, 15, maybe not 10, but maybe like 15 years ago, that was one of the biggest gaps. Actually, in terms of gaps, it was probably much more recent than that. But one of the biggest gaps was how to get to the global market, because a lot of people would be, a lot of really talented engineers maybe would be sitting here doing work, not sharing it with anybody, not getting any feedback. And then when it came time to take it to the US or to the European market and stuff, they just didn't know how to, because that that knowledge just wasn't here. There's been really fantastic diaspora Armenia collaborations in that regards, a lot of which are Armenians from Armenia who moved abroad for work and then came back and brought that knowledge with them, and really fostered an ecosystem where now if you're in tech, it's quite easy to get the knowledge and the right people to help you take your product to the US. There's great places like Hero House and things like that really help with that. So it's great to see that now happening in the engineering world as well. Yeah.
And for me, selfishly, it's easier for me to do business in Europe and in America. I have offices there. So when my clients in America or in Europe or in Australia, around the world, they see that you have a US presence. They see we have, disclose that my staff is in Armenia, but we have offices in the United States. It makes going, and I understand the market. We understand the American market. My sales team understands the European market. Mm-hmm. My sales manager worked for 30 years in Austria and in Germany, so selling engineering services. You have to have the right people in the right places, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you see this company has an American office, they have an Armenian office, I can call a US number. I don't need to wire money to Armenia. I can pay my engineering services bill right here in the US via Bank of America, ACH transfer. It makes their lives a lot easier. And our contracts could be in the US, so they know they can litigate in the US if need be, right?
Yeah.
That is one of the easier things that I've done, is having a dual presence.
Mm-hmm. It's a must.
It's a must. Yeah. And I've advised that to other people that have asked me.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
The same thing.
Last question, Vahe. Where do you hope to see the engineering ecosystem in Armenia in 5 years?
In 5 years, I would love to see a large company like we've seen in other industries, with NVIDIA, within VMware, and other companies have established offices here. I would love to see in 5 years or a major company establish their engineering design team here in the United States, to make that announcement, like
an American company,
an American, European, Japanese company, whatever, outside of the CIS countries, right? Like a Western country.
Someone that wouldn't normally come.
Correct. Someone that wouldn't normally come.
Some come already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. CIS already come.
Yeah.
Outside of our normal sphere, you know, like a Boston Scientific or Tesla or whatever, it doesn't matter. Come and be like, we are opening up a design team, our design engineering services office here in Armenia.
I guess you have some precedent. It's not mechanical, but with Synopsys, they do EDA, which is, am I right to say that's the electronic counterpart to what you guys do?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they have a very big presence here.
They have like 1,000 people.
Yeah, 1,000 people.
So a catch like that in Armenia.
Yeah. Correct. Not that big. There's no way in 5 years we'll be ready for 1,000 engineers.
Sure.
I'll tell you that right now.
When 20, they started 20 30, years ago.
Yeah. In 20 years, that is the goal.
Right.
And you need to have those milestones.
Yeah.
So I want my team right now, we're at 7 or 8, and I want to be in 5 years, I'd like to be at 30,
mm-hmm.
30 or 40.
Okay. We'll have you back in 2029 to speak
about it. I'm ready. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Vlad. This was a lot of fun.
It was great for me. Thank you.